relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I feel hunky-dunky, life is tickety-boo. Birds are winging, also singing, hunky-dunky-dee-doo. Ship-shaped, dipsy-topsy, Lord, a zippity-zing. It's a wonderful day, hurrah, hooray, it makes me want to sing. Oh, hurrah, hooray.
Do not adjust your sets. You have not tuned in to the wrong radio show. This is still America First, and this is 101 with our very special guest, a good friend of mine, a man who, am I allowed to say this? He has my favorite podcast, the one I always watch every episode of. It is The Andrew Klavan Show. No E's allowed. E's are verboten. It is K-L-A-V-A-N, and he's in studio. Andrew, welcome to 101.
Always great to be here.
I just love that cartoon. It just cheers me up, especially with the gunshot at the end, hitting the sign and the pew. It's just hilarious.
I lost one of my oldest friends over that song, so help me. His wife got angry because the feminist blows up at the end.
Did you tell him it was a cartoon?
I tried to.
Not, it wasn't a real person. Did you tell him Tom and Jerry is not a documentary?
He just keeps mistreating that cat. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. I think we kind of nailed the topic for today. Truth and the fantasy world that the left lives in. So much to discuss. I've got a long, long list here. He is very successful Hollywood screenwriter. I was at his house recently, and I looked at his book, a bookshelf, and because I'm always looking at people's libraries, so I thought, that's interesting. All the books in this bookshelf are written by the same person. That's how much of a graphomaniac he is, how productive he is. He has written more books than I can shake a stick at. Let's talk about a couple of them. Most important, I detest, because I don't have the patience to read autobiographies, except three. I've read three, and this is a truly life-changing one. It's The Great Good Thing. It's Drew's journey from a Jewish family, from Judaism to Christianity, and what Christianity means, what Christendom should mean. It's an amazing book. Then we have Another Kingdom, a great, what do you call it, like triptych, miniseries?
Yeah, a trilogy.
A trilogy. Yeah. A fantasy series of novels, also an audio kind of theater product with Mike Knowles. Yeah, Mike Knowles. Let's not go there. The man who makes money out of nothing.
The guy was out of work.
Well, yeah, you threw him a bone. You threw him a bone. Another Kingdom. And then, most important of all, his new book coming out next week. It is When Christmas Comes. You can order it now. But this is a man who is so multifarious in his skill sets. If you look at the fact that Clint Eastwood has made movies based upon the books he has written, such as True Crime, there's nothing more I need to do to introduce him. Subscribe to his podcast, subscribe to his YouTube channel, and now let's get to work. I think it was your latest episode, where you asked the question about will the Civil War get hot? Mm, yeah. My good friend who has the morning show here in D.C., Chris Plant, he's been saying this for about 2 years now, that we're just on the precipice. That this is just a question of when, not if. Then we had Bill Maher a few days ago say, it better not happen, because if this is a shooting war, guess who's going to win? It's not going to be the guys that are scared of guns. It's going to be the guys who say, yes, I'll buy another AR-15 today. Is this a good title for a podcast episode, or is this something we have to seriously consider?
Oh, it's something we have to seriously consider, but we have to beware of the right-wing tendency, our conservative tendency, to connect the dots to the worst possible outcome. We do this all the time. You have to remember the future is like the stars. You make the constellations that you see, but you may not be seeing the way things are going to go. And conservatives, especially when they're dealing online, they're dealing on, you know, talk radio and all the different ways, podcasts, all the different ways we communicate, we tend to get overly dramatic. And what I think the situation right now is that I think the term Cold Civil War is completely valid. We are in a place where we're not dealing with disagreements. We're dealing with two different philosophies of life. What is hidden from us right now is how much does that divide show up in the voting polls? And how much is it an illusion created by a left-wing media and a left-wing social media, which has now become almost all of our information? So
you mentioned, I think, if I remember well, a statistic that only 8% of Americans would use the word woke to describe themselves. So the question is it really a divided nation, or is it some very loud radicals who are saying, yes, we need to imprison people who wear red hats that say MAGA,
right?
Or is it more indicative of a is there a lumpen of unthinking supporters for the radicals, or is it truly a nation divided?
Right, because there are many, many people on the left who are afraid to speak out. They have made it. They've made the cost so high. But just consider that a congressman was taken off Twitter last week for saying that Rachel Levine is a man. Now, Rachel Levine is a man. That's just a fact.
And always will be.
Exactly. I mean, he is a man who has some confusion about that. And, you know, I don't want to condemn him for that. But that's the truth. And he spoke the truth and was taken off Twitter. Now, how many people, if you got them alone in a room, would say, oh, yeah, Rachel Levine magically transferred into a woman. That's just this one.
Because he said so.
Because he said so. And that's how you do it. That's how you decide your gender. You just say so. I don't think a lot. I think a very few number, small number of people. But they have made the cost so high that people are afraid. Now, at what point do people stop acting on fear and start acting on common sense? And that's really what we're facing.
Well, this is a huge discussion. Let me just immediately say this is the child of those who suffered under fascism and then who were persecuted under communism. In Western societies, Asiatic are different. If you look at Mao and you look at China, there's a different collective ethos, which is cultural, is philosophical. But in Western civilizations, there's a point at which the dam has to burst, because denying truth for decades, there's a point at which the civilization based upon truth, whether it's revealed, whether it is scientific, says, you know, this is garbage. And it's either Ceausescu being hunted off the top of the building in 1989, or it's the Baltic states doing a human chain across the country, singing a song of independence. Is this what we would hope for in America, that there will be a crescendo point where those who are afraid but vote Democrat say, you know what? The transgender boy raping the girl in the school toilets twice, there's something wrong with that.
Well, this is the thing. Morality is actually the thing, because one of the things I emphasize on my podcast is you can't have morality without reality. One of the reasons that Jews and Catholics have such a fine ethical sense is because they've had thousands of years of gimlet-eyed looking at humanity and saying, well, this is the way this works. We're not good people. We're all twisted. We have to go in certain directions. That's why they're so good at the ethics of it all. Forget what you think about the religion. At the ethics, they're really good at it. So when you start to deny the reality of what human beings are and how they behave and what their actual state is, you start to do evil things. And you can do evil things without actually being evil, without actually committing yourself to evil. You just wind up doing them because you're lying. I make the point all the time that socialism is immoral because it says that there's such a thing as a good state that will distribute our wealth evenly. That actually does not exist. There are only people with power, and the more power you give them, the more corrupt they become because they're people. The same thing is true with things like transgenderism. It's not that people can't be confused. They simply can't change their sex. And so once you start to put – I mean, how evil is it? How wicked is it to put, for instance, a male, biological male, as we now call them – I just call them males – in with a woman prisoner? So that she's in a cell with a criminal who is a male, and she's going to get raped, and suddenly these women's prisons, which historically are far less violent than men prisons, are just as violent because guess what? That guy in a dress is a man. So all this evil comes of lying. And it comes of lying about our state. It comes of lying about our nature. And it comes from lying about what we can achieve as human beings, which is only so much. And I think that ultimately, if people don't react to that, we're lost. And that's the question. The question is, will they react before the truck drives off the cliff and we've got the Holocaust and we've got the Soviet Union on our hands? Or will it stop before the truck drives off the cliffs and we say, you know what? No more raping our children. No more teaching our children that little boys performing sex on men is a good thing, is somehow an acceptable thing, which is what they're literally teaching in our schools.
Yeah, yeah. For those who have been abroad for the last 2 months or internet has been switched off since 1987, this is not an exaggeration. This is not hyperbole.
Right.
These are graphic novels, cartoon books of men having sex with little boys being bought, being okayed by the school boards in Virginia. This is why parents are waking up and saying, no, you're not going to teach the bigotry of critical race theory. You're not going to teach the normalization, the pornographic normalization of pederasty in our schools. So this is, for me, I think this could be the point at which there is a catalytic moment. We're talking to Andrew Klavan. Follow him at Andrew Klavan, K-L-A-V-A-N. Buy any, all of his books and listen to his podcast. Stay with us here on America First, one-on-one for more from Andrew Klavan. Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Welcome back to America First one-on-one with Andrew Klavan. We have a pronouncement. He's back. I don't know why, but he's back. The man who was the first black president of the United States is now an expert on culture. And he has something to say about those rascally Republicans. Cut 7, play cuts.
We don't have time
you might want to
be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars. This fake outrage that the right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings. And the fact that he's willing to go along with it instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people, that's a shame.
Fake culture wars. That's Obama yesterday, the day before, campaigning for one of the sleaziest, objectively, empirically, one of the sleaziest Democrat politicians, Terry McAuliffe. And he's saying it's invented. There is no culture war at all. And I guess Donald Trump wasn't canceled on Twitter either. Let me give an example of how little a culture war there is. Wednesday, the Washington Post lead editorial cartoon is a delightful group of mothers sitting in in somebody's living room with a grill, a barbecue grill in the middle, and they're burning books, and the Washington Post calls this the Moms for Liberty Book Club. Which side of the political aisle is is banning books on Amazon?
And silencing speech. We're using the power of corporations guided by the government, which is almost the definition of fascism. You know, he is so good. He is such a talented politician, Barack Obama. And the problem with him is that all of his philosophy is wrong, and so none of his policies work. So he became president at a time when the economy had crashed, and historically an economy that takes a nosedive will bounce up just as high, just as fast. He sat on that economy with his stupid Obamacare and his stupid policies. He was handed peace in the Middle East, and he let loose ISIS and a war that took over a territory the size of Ohio with terrorism and this wickedness that exists in the Middle East. He failed at everything. And what did he do to take people's mind off his failure is he started a culture war. He started telling us that the police were killing black people, which is a complete falsehood. I mean, it's statistically untrue. He started telling us that, the problem with race in this country, twice a black man, name another white majority country that has elected a black man president.
Good point.
But somehow America is the center of racism. He's the guy who stirred this up. When he took office, American race relations, which have gone through very rough patches, and obviously it's part of our history, but American race relations were at their peak. We were doing great in terms of race relations. When he left, we were at each other's throats. He did that. He did that to disguise his failure, the failures of his policies. It's the left that repeatedly brings up culture questions when their policies fail, which they always do because they're not realistic. So their cities are littered with homeless people. Their cities are increasingly crime infested, and what do? They talk about racism. That's a culture war issue. Racism isn't the problem. The problem is they've alienated the police to the degree that the police don't want to turn up and do their jobs. Ilhan Omar, the queen of defund the police, is complaining that the police aren't patrolling their areas anymore. I mean, how much more of a fake culture war is that? Whereas these parents who are showing up because their children are being taught racism and being taught sexual perversion are just doing what people do, defending their children. These are people who would throw themselves in front of a bus to protect their children, and these teachers who wouldn't do a damn thing for their children and haven't done a thing for their children are telling them to go home and shut up. That is outrageous. No wonder people are outraged, and you can't just make fun of that. Let's see if it works. I'm surprised the polls are this close.
You mean for
Virginia?
Yeah, we'll discuss that in a second, but he hasn't stopped. He's left office, and he hasn't stopped. And I played you before we came on. He did this, I mean, oleaginous, sycophantic dual interview with Bruce Springsteen, his working-class buddy who jets around the world in his, private jet.
He's never had a job. Bruce Springsteen has never had a job.
But he wears blue jeans, so he must be working class. He must be. Yeah. And he's got a wife beater T-shirt on because he's such a working-class guy. And they're saying what? They're saying that his big black saxophonist is, this is Obama, saying, your listeners, Bruce, love your saxophonist when he's on stage with you. Quote, but if they saw him in a bar, they'd start throwing the N-word around. What America?
And Springsteen nods and
agrees. He just nods.
This is the guy. These are the people who made Springsteen what he is. They made him the boss, right? And the boss is throwing them under the bus, because he's positing this America that truly does not exist. But they have to do it as they are the power. They are the establishment now. And so when they have to create a sort of make-believe establishment that they're rebelling against. They have a book out, Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen, is called Renegades. Renegades against what? These are two of the richest, most successful establishment figures in the country.
Wasn't the original title The Martha's Vineyard Renegades?
Exactly. Renegade, this is like the resistance. The resistance, which consists of the corporations, Hollywood, the media, the academy, and the majority in office. That's the resistance. What are they resisting? They're resisting the people.
Is there a math to this? I know you know your history. Is there a natural progression whereby, the anti-establishment kids, when they become the man, is there not a point at which everything just collapses? Because the narrative, you can't be the resistance if you own everything. If Mark Zuckerberg is helping you, you know, defraud elections with $400 million, you're not the resistance.
Yeah, I don't know when the comedy starts to occur to people. I really don't. They are really making an effort to silence any voice that tells the truth. They really are. When you knock people off your social media platform because they say a man can't become a woman, or climate change isn't an existential threat, right, or any of the number of things that basically uncreate their fantasy that they are resisting some terrible force, I don't know. Will that survive? I don't think so. I don't think you can lie forever. I just don't think you can lie forever without people starting to raise their hand and say, excuse me, the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. And that's really the situation we're at now. And so when you ask me, will the cold Civil War turn hot? I think that's what it depends on, because we are finally after, you know, I feel like I've been banging this drum for so long, but finally the right understands that we have to appeal to people's hearts as well as their minds. We have to create culture. We have to live our culture. We have to fearlessly defend our culture and not just, do it quietly at home. Now that we're doing that, the question is how many people will join, get on board?
Right.
Because obviously most people are not creators. Most people are followers. Most people take the creations of others. That's why you have artists and inventors and businessmen. But when do the people start to say, you know, they're not lying. They're right. A man can't become a woman. There isn't a lot of racism in this country. Poor neighborhoods are dysfunctional for all kinds of reasons. And maybe they need to take some responsibility for themselves as well. You know, just these reasonable common sense stuff, not that stuff where you pound your fist into your palm and say, hey, you know, I'm going to tell the truth and I don't care. It's just the common sense stuff. When do they get on board? And it's an open question.
Well, at least I've got the title for Drew's new book. Well, at least it's the title of this episode, I think. You Can't Lie Forever. I think that's a good one. Follow this man. He is the host of The Andrew Klavan Show, also at Andrew Klavan. Back with Andrew Klavan after these messages. I've done something I can guarantee no one else in my audience has done. I've sat across the table with the man who formulated the process behind Balance of Nature, Dr. Douglas Howard, doctor, professor, scientist, one of the most brilliant health experts you'll ever meet, and I know him. When he described to me his 20-year journey that resulted in one of those powerful supplements on the market today, I knew I had to start taking it. You will probably never have the privilege of meeting Dr. Howard as I have, but you can make the same decision I did to get those 10 daily servings from 31 different fruits and vegetables, all derived from Dr. Howard's process. Believe me when I say Balance of Nature is the real deal. For a limited time, all new preferred customers receive a 35% additional discount and free shipping on your first order. Use discount code Gorka. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. That's 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with Andrew Klavan. You mentioned that people are starting to realize the importance of culture and the emotional frequency on which people have to be appealed to.
Yes, and it really, it's going to need to be fearless, and it's very hard to do because everybody's got something to lose.
Yes.
Everybody's got something to lose. And the thing about it is you have to be able to speak the plain truth without rage and without hatred. You really do. Because sometimes we get so angry, and they're very good at making us angry. That's one of Obama's superpowers. He can make people so angry that even when you're speaking the truth, you sound like you're kind of a bad guy. And we have to learn, you know, it's that old Paul Simon song, you know, you got to have some tenderness in your honesty. We have to speak the truth absolutely fearlessly. People say, when I talk about being polite, when I talk about being respectful, when I talk about being civilized, people think I'm being restrained or cowardly. Not in the least. I think you can say anything you need to say without shouting in people's faces. And then they start to say, I've experienced this myself. They start to say, you know what? That's actually true.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how to do that. I can do angry. Well, no. I can do angry really well. You can do the nice guy. I'll be the nasty guy, you know, with the bad cop and good cop. But it's not just that. And I get it. I have this discussion with my son every time he comes home from California. He says, God, Dad, you got to win people over. And I say, not my job.
That's right. It's not my job. No, but you're right, Seb. It's not your job. It's preaching to the choir is also an important thing.
No, and energizing people who are depressed.
That's right. You know,
I'm at peace with it. I'm at peace with it. However, there's this bigger piece that I think we're missing. And you know this better than anyone because you are the consummate storyteller. Where did we forget to tell stories?
Yeah, we forgot what we did forget.
I mean, I've said this a million times on this show. I have a couple of movies on my phone for when I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
And it's you know, my favorites as a kid, you know, it's Star Wars and whatever. But Casablanca. And I've watched Casablanca like 3 times in the last 2 weeks because it's just so good.
It's so good.
And there's nothing didactic. There's nothing smack you over the head with America and the West is good and Nazis are evil. It's just a bloody good story.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's heart-wrenching. It's tragic. It's empowering. I know it was Cube Corps. I know it's Hungarian Jews. I know it's immigrants. Does it have to be immigrants to tell stories about America?
No, but see, that's important because they don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
And that's where you go wrong. When this country was so successful in its culture, in its American culture, in its patriotic culture, and in its religious culture, this was the most religious country in the world. We got complacent. We stopped telling stories. You know, part of art's job is to criticize the culture because every culture has its flaws and we should always be looking at ourselves and always examining ourselves. But the old culture of America was, yes, we have flaws, but we are essentially a good entity. And that disappeared. That disappeared in the 60s when suddenly we were the evil guys, when suddenly you could go and talk about how Mao Tse-Tung's Little Red Book, responsible for what, like 100 million murders, was somehow the good thing and the Constitution was somehow the bad thing. That's where the turnaround came. And I saw that come. And when it happened, the people...
And you were a liberal then, right?
I was a liberal. I was never really a radical, but I was a liberal. Right. But when it came, the people in power did not have answers. I saw this again and again. When the radicals shouted at them, you know, this country is racist. This country is worse than imperialistic. Right. They didn't have answers. And part of the genius of Ronald Reagan, is he was a movie guy and he had the answers. He could explain it quietly in a civilized way, in a humorous way. But he actually knew why he believed what he believed. You know, they did nothing but call Reagan stupid. That was the whole thing about him. Stupid actor doesn't know what he's talking about. Reagan was not a stupid guy, and he read the books that informed his love of country. And when they asked him questions, he didn't have to, like, fall back and say, well, that's just the way we do it. That's just our tradition. He actually could explain it. That's a wonderful thing. That's a very powerful thing. And storytellers need to know how to do that.
And not only that, for those who don't know what happened before he became the president of SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and before he became the governor of California, his job after he left Hollywood was to travel the country for GE, teaching factory workers and the shop stewards and managers across the country on why free enterprise is good and why America is the greatest nation on God's earth. That was his job, to sell America. And guess what? He wrote those speeches, the amiable dunce that we were told about in the 1980s. He wrote the speeches on why America was great, so he knew how to communicate.
You know, you were kind enough to mention my book, The Great Good Thing, which is the story of my conversion. My conversion took 50 years. I was 50 years old, 49 years old, before I was baptized. And baptism and Christ gave me so much joy that there were times when I would turn to God kind of angrily and say, why did you let me take so long? Why did you let me wander in the wilderness, Jew that I was for 40 years? And I really came up with the answer that he wanted me to make every possible intellectual mistake, so I knew why there were mistakes. There is almost nothing that somebody can come to me and say at this point, I don't believe because this, and this, where I can't say, yeah, I was there. I know that corridor. I know where it ends. I know the dead end that it goes down. You know, that's a great power to have, even though it cost me all that time discovering it. And I think that Reagan had it because of what you say. He worked at it. You
know? Yeah. Well, and he had been a liberal.
He had been a liberal.
You have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You will receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. You'll also receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products, such as the MyPillow towels, mattress topper, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to receive Mike's standard pillow for just $19.98 or call 1-800 800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. MyPillow is made in the USA. Comes with a 10-year warranty, so you know it's going to last. And a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, 1-800-829-8468.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
And we're back one-on-one with Andrew Klavan. Let's go there. I wish we had hours to discuss it. So let me see if I can couple two things together. You talked about your 50-year journey towards Christ and towards the foundation of this civilization, which is our Savior. And then you used the phrase in your last podcast, mental slavery, that the left has created, that wokeism is a form of mental slavery. Can you, I don't want to artificially strain this, but let's talk about that concept of mental slavery. And let's talk about why Christianity is the ultimate freedom in terms of, yes, it's about sacrifice. Yes, it's about pain. Yes, it's about the authority of God. But as St. John Paul said, freedom isn't the freedom to buy Playboy. It's making the choice to do the right thing. That's the beauty of freedom.
Right.
I'll let you free reign.
I think the most important, not the most important, one of the important things about Christianity is its path to forgiveness. And if you have a path where you can say, I did that wrong. And God says, hey, turn around, start doing it right. Now, that's the prodigal son. The minute the father sees him on the road, he runs out to meet him. And that's the way God treats us. That's a beautiful thing. And it's an incredibly liberating thing because it means you can make mistake after mistake after mistake and say, oh, I'm turning around. I'm going home. If you can't do that, if you are committed to lies, if your whole philosophy is based on an untruth, you have to keep going deeper into that lie. And so you start with this stupid little lie, a man can become a woman, and you wind up with children being raped. It's an amazing path into darkness. This little bit of intellectual corruption will take you right down the road to hell. And it is, I've seen this again and again, because you have no way of turning back. You have no way of saying, you know what, I'll take the shame and God will take that shame off me. You have no way of saying it. You're just stuck with the shame, and people will do anything to avoid shame.
And on the issue, recently some people have said we need shame. Shame needs to come back. Yeah. Shame served a purpose.
Yeah.
But on this issue of forgiveness, the whole essence of woke culture is the denial of forgiveness.
That's right.
You tweeted something age 16. That's it. You're done. You're toast. You may be 35 years old, but your career is over.
But it has to be that way, because if you're building something on lies, the minute somebody says the emperor isn't wearing any clothes, that lies, the whole cathedral falls
collapses.
Down. We don't have that problem. We do not have that problem. There's nothing that anybody is going to say that's going to take away the truth of Christ.
So here's the tough question. We've discussed this. I've been on your show numerous times to talk about the MAGA movement, my old boss, President Trump. He's going to run. He'll win if we can have a clean election. But everything we've discussed cannot be resolved politically.
That's right.
I had Oz Guinness in the studio maybe 2 years ago, an amazing guy, amazing author.
Great,
And during the interview, he said something stunning. He said, if President Trump wins a second term, this was during the first administration, he said, he needs to preside over a spiritual rededication of this nation.
Mm.
The things that have to be fixed in the spiritual domain, do they not?
Yeah, this is the argument that I have with some of the Catholic integralists who kind of want the Pope to come back and rule. And I say, no, you know, cultural wars have to be won on the cultural front. And yeah, laws can help, and there are certain laws that I think can be put in place, but you can't force people to be free. That's the whole point of freedom. That's the catch. That's catch 22.
Well, the whole point is Genesis.
Right. That's right. It's exactly right. You know, you cannot...
God's relationship with creation had to be one based upon our free choice to have a relationship with him.
Yeah, and it's a painful conflict, and it's the reason why all the founders, John Adams said it best, he said this is a constitution for a moral and religious people, it won't serve any other, but all of them said the same thing. That's inner sense of where you go has to be an inner sense. And if you don't have that, you really are lost. No politician can bring it back to you. Another thing that Reagan had that was really good was he sounded a moral note. And that, by the way, is another thing the right has been incredibly guilty of.
This, explain.
This absolute capitalism that was not Reagan's philosophy, but came out of the Reagan years.
It wasn't Adam Smith. It wasn't the founding
of anything. You know, right. A capitalism is the best economic system. It's the worst economic system except for every other one. I mean, that's basically
right.
It. But if you start to say that we put our acquisitiveness off one another, and that makes everybody rise, therefore acquisitiveness, greed, is a good thing, you've made a mistake.
Right.
That's a moral error, right? And so the idea that we've sold this kind of Ayn Rand, money is everything, that only the creator matters, only the big businessman matters, and the working man doesn't matter, we've sold this to people, and they look at us and they think, no, that's no good.
Right.
The left has put even their immorality in moral terms. They have said, you know, well, you're hateful. They don't say you're wrong. A man can't become a woman. Nobody says that. They say you're hateful for saying
yes.
That. That's a moral issue.
Yes.
And you have to be able to say, no, it's love to tell the truth. It is loving to tell the truth. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not trying to tell people how to live their lives, but it is love to live in truth. And we don't do it. We do not do it. We do not take a moral course.
For the greatest author on this, we lost him far too early. If you're interested in really powerful arguments on why there has to be a moral compass to capitalism, you've got to read Michael Novak. Any of, you know, The Spirit of the Free Market, any of his works on this really give you the ammunition to make this argument. It's not about greed or profit. It never was. You look at capitalism in America, it was about, I don't use the word compassion, but there was a moral compass to it. So let's return to this question. How could that moral rededication, that spiritual dedication look? What would it look like? Because it's not something a president can switch on and off. I've been sorely disappointed, especially after 9/11, with the pathetic lack of leadership from our church leaders. If you look at the plight of Christians across the globe, is this going to have to be a grassroots Americans finding it in themselves? What do you think is a possible scenario?
One plausible scenario, and I know you may laugh at this, but I think this is actually what's going to happen, is that it's going to come from the top down. Most religious movements in this country have kind of come from the bottom up. They've come from the people gathering together. But right now, we are at a moment where atheism is actually no longer a plausible explanation for the world. And there was a time when that wasn't true. There was a time when you could sort of extrapolate from Newton. Oh, yeah, it's kind of a mechanistic universe, right. And there's going to be an explanation for everything. Now we see, in science, that's not the case. And so as intellectuals start to say, you know what, I can't make sense anymore. I have to invent this multiverse, and I have to invent these crazy scenarios that are going to explain away.
Dawkins, the alien seeded Earth. Thanks, Richard, you great secular non-believer.
they really are sitting around saying, well, maybe it's all, you know, a game that was invented on a computer. You go like, yeah, that's actually not as good an explanation as the one in Genesis, you know.
Right. Coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C.,
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
He's the host of The Andrew Klavan Show, and it's time for more one-on-one. We're almost out of time, but it's so important for everybody to hear your story. You have courage, Andrew Klavan, in so many ways. Give a little flavor of why you did what you did to Hollywood. Why you said, screw you. I don't need you. This is a sick place.
Well, you know, my journey to truth was a long way and went down a lot of dead ends, like I said, along a a lot of long roads. But always, even when I was out of my mind, I always felt that if you're a writer, your words have to have a relationship to the truth. There's no point sitting down. To me, to this day, there's no point sitting down and writing something that isn't in some essential way true. So I was in Hollywood because it was fun and I was having a good time. I always considered myself a novelist first. But after 9/11 started and after the wars on terror started, there was a movement in Hollywood to produce movies to show Americans as the bad guys. Again and again, they made movies in which American soldiers raped Islamic women, where American soldiers were dishonest, where Republicans were using American soldiers as stupid pawns for their nefarious political tricks. And I was just in meetings. You know, I was just going into meetings and people would say, the greatest pitch I ever made in my life. I was making this great pitch and I thought, wow, I've just sold this thing. There's no way they can't take this. And at the end, the guy said, well, could you make the villain the American military? And I...
Just like that?
Yeah. And, you know, because it had nothing to do with anything about that. I mean, it was like a weird superhero story. And I said, you know, I don't think the American people want to see the American military as the bad guys right now. And I was virtually thrown out of the room.
Wow.
And so my work started to dry up. And at the same time, I started to say in print out loud, you know, this is wrong. It is wrong to make anti-American, anti-war movies while our troops are in the field.
Yeah.
That's right, because they didn't do that in Vietnam. You know, they made some great movies saying that the Vietnam War was wrong, but they were after everybody was safely home. And some of them were made by veterans, where these were being made by these fatuous fools who were sitting around in hotels on Sunset Boulevard going, you know, who's this? You know, that George W. Bush, he's such a fool, you know. And eventually the work dried up, and I really seriously thought to myself, well, you know, there are people being blown up, people losing their legs, people being shot, people losing their children, God forbid. So I'm losing Hollywood work, you know, I'm losing, you know, and it was tough. I mean, my income went from a very high income to zero, you know, very quickly. And I had to sell my house and I had to move. And I never lost a minute's sleep over it.
So that was the right decision?
Yeah, no, of course, because it was, you can't make a living as a writer. You can, but you can't make a living as a writer by my lights and write lies.
Guys, seriously, whatever this guy touches is gold. Check it out. The latest is When Christmas Comes. It will be shipped next week. You can order it right now. Listen to his podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Klavan. It's the Andrew Klavan Show. Watch the movies that he scripted. Just basically, you know, if it's got Klavan on it, you're good. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, one-on-one, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.